going to watch a video. Andrew's going to read our Bible reading this morning as we start a new teaching series, and then Simon's going to come and speak to us this morning.
Hi, for our reading today, we're going to turn to Luke's Gospel. As you know, we finished last week a series in Ephesians chapter 6, and today we're going to pick up again. We've been working our way through Luke's Gospel over the past few years, having a few weeks going through a chapter or two, and we're going to be doing that again for the next few weeks. So here's Luke chapter 12, verses 1 to 12. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Thanks be to God for his word.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew, and good morning, everyone. Really lovely to see you here this morning. My name's Simon. I'm one of the ministers here, and we're going to dive into God's Word together. That passage is a real tough one we're looking at this morning. If you could keep it open in your Bibles or have it up on your phones, as long as you promise me you don't check Facebook or anything else whilst you're on your phone, that would be great. I want to start with this question. How loyal do you think you are as a person? How loyal are you? I came across a questionnaire survey this week designed to work out how loyal you are as a person. I thought I'd pull out some of the questions that I thought were quite interesting. So one of the questions they asked, how loyal are you, is how far do you live from the city you were born? Well, that's got to do with loyalty. I have no idea. Probably more to do with house prices and other factors. But anyway, that's what they said. Another question was, how many customer loyalty cards do you have? And then the final question, which I thought was most interesting, was a close family member is accused of a crime and needs a place to hide. They swear they're innocent. What would you do? No, let's not do that. Let's not go there. I don't know if any of these are proof of loyalty in any kind of way, but it did make me think about, well, what is loyalty? And what does it mean to be loyal? And who should we be loyal to? It also got me thinking about whether loyalty as a value is higher than it was or maybe lower than it was. I think of people from my grandfather's age, my grandfather in particular, who would always shop at the same village stores rather than go to big supermarkets because he always wanted to support local businesses. He's like, I want to be loyal to these smaller companies. I can think of people who I've met who have worked for companies for 30 or 40 years, whereas that doesn't seem as common these days, where we stay in jobs for a shorter amount of time and then we move on to something else. Are those to do with loyalty? Got me thinking about how FOMO, the fear of missing out, means that perhaps we're more hesitant about being committed to particular things. Because, you know, if I'm committed to this thing and then something better comes along, well, you know, what do I do then? And so maybe we hold our commitments more lightly. I don't know. Maybe we're nervous about being committed or loyal to ideas, just in case they turn out to be wrong. You know, I don't want to be committed to something that then actually turns out to be a bad thing. And so maybe we hold our commitment to ideas lightly as well. I don't know. Something for you to chat about in your life groups this week or over teas and coffees. Loyalty. Got me thinking about what does it mean to be loyal to Christ? And I think that's really the main thrust of the passage we're looking at this morning. And you're going to see some tough words come from Jesus. But I think the main thing is, it's to do with loyalty. It begins with this. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, and then what he goes and talks about is loyalty. He looks out at the crowd and he knows that crowds are fickle. He's on his way to Jerusalem to the events of Easter, of death and resurrection, and he knows that crowds are fickle. Crowds aren't going to be there in the end. There is fan base right now. There's loads of them. They want to hear from him. But it's going to be a crowd that will condemn him to death. And so he turns to his disciples and he speaks to them about what it means to be loyal. And in doing so it helps us to think about what does it mean for us to be loyal to Christ rather than fickle, committed to him even when things get tough. So what does it mean to be loyal? And then why should we be loyal? Well, I think there are three things that come from this passage that we'll go through. So number one reason to be loyal to Christ, and we'll work through what that means as well, is because one day the truth will be clearly revealed. One day the truth will be clearly revealed. I heard a story this week about something that happened on the 13th of February 1997, just off the coast of Cornwall. And this happened 25 years ago. A container ship called the Tokyo Express hit a wave described by its captain as a once-in-a-100-year phenomenon, causing 62 containers to be lost overboard about 20 miles off Land's End. You might have seen this in the news 25 years ago. One of the containers contained 4.8 million pieces of Lego. And it's recently come back on the news because shortly afterwards, they thought the Lego had all been lost, but shortly afterwards, this Lego started appearing on beaches in Cornwall. And 25 years later, you can still visit particular beaches in Cornwall and you can find the same Lego that sunk 25 years ago. Isn't that amazing? So if you're still planning your summer holidays, can I recommend Perranporth? Apparently, there's lots of mini cutlasses and scuba packs. So also, if you're looking for a cheap Christmas present, then that might work as well. We'll come back to that story in just a moment. These are the words of Jesus. He says, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you've whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs." One of the ways in which the disciples' loyalty to Christ is going to be tested is around the question, are they going to become like those around them, or are they going to be different? Specifically, the religious leaders of the day, whose judgmentalism and hypocrisy had worked its way through society like, what Jesus says, like yeast does in bread, just like affecting the whole batch. And will the disciples be like them? Will they be like the crowd, or will they be different? Will they be loyal to Christ? And that's when he says, because everything that's hidden now will be revealed. Everything concealed will be disclosed. What does he mean by that? Well, there's a couple of options. One is a fairly obvious one, which is he's saying what's inside always comes out somewhere. So the thoughts, the desires, the motivation of these Pharisees working their way like yeast does through bread, ruining everything. It's going to come out somewhere, in their behavior, in their words. Someone's going to see it at some point. It's going to be so obvious what they're really all about. So it could be they saying that. And in which case, there's an application for us, which is, you know, we need to watch our hearts, because truth will find its way out at some point. As Proverbs 4:23 says, above all, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. What's inside, it comes out somewhere. Everything hidden will be made known at some point. So it could be that he's saying that. But it also could be that he's talking about the future age. For Jesus, there are two ages. There's the present age, and then there's the future age. There's the kingdom to come that's to be experienced in part in the present. And what he's saying is, one day when the kingdom goes public, truth will be made known. Everything you think has been hidden, and every injustice washed under, pushed away, it's going to come out at some point. I think with either of these options, there's a general principle, which is this: that truth keeps getting washed up on the beach. You can't keep it hidden in the depths. When you think it's gone, it's going to find its way somewhere. Whether in this life, in this age, in our own lifetimes, where we see truth revealed, or one day in the future age when everything hidden will be known. Which says something to us about what it means to be loyal to Christ, which is, to be loyal to Christ is to be committed to truth, to be committed to doing what is right, even when we think no one will find out. I have great respect for those in the last few years who have spoken up against about the abuse that they've suffered, even doing so against huge fear of doing so. And we've seen that in Hollywood, we've seen that in all kinds of places, we've seen it in the church as well, people speaking up against abuse that they've suffered, which I think has been even harder, because there's been that feeling of, I must stay silent because otherwise I'll damage the church by saying what these people have done. But everything hidden will be made known. And so these brave souls, having done that, and I think there are those times we need to speak up because, and be committed to truth because, everything will be made known. The Lego will find its way to Perranporth Beach. There's a larger point here as well, which is the truth is Christ. Christ is ultimate reality. And even if our society kind of pushes him to the side, into the depths, as unimportant, as just, well, you know, an added ingredient to your life, but, you know, nothing more than that. He's ultimate reality. He will wash up on the beach. He will keep coming back. And so why stay loyal to Christ? Well, because everything we know will be gone one day. Everything we around us will die. So why not be committed and loyal to the one who has beaten death itself? The one who will never die, ultimate reality. There's one reason to be loyal to Christ. I think that's what Jesus is something of what Jesus is saying here. But there's another reason, which is, it's because we are answerable ultimately to God. We're answerable ultimately to God. In life, we're answerable to all kinds of people, aren't we, in different things. We're answerable to our work. If we don't do work, we get picked up on it by our employers. We're answerable if you've got a spouse, to your spouse. Maybe you're answerable to your children, maybe you're answerable to your parents, you're answerable to society. There's all kinds of things that we're answerable to, and most of those can exist at the same time. We can be loyal to church and work and home life and everything else. But there are moments when there are clashes, when we might be giving too much time to one thing, and that comes back in another way. And we need to work out in those moments, well, who am I most answerable to? Where does my priority ultimately lie in this moment? And I think Jesus wants us to know that ultimately we are answerable to God above all things. But the way that he puts it to his disciples is, it needs some digging into to work out what he's saying. This is what he says to them. He says, I tell you, my friends, Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Now, the Greek word here for hell is the word Gehenna. And it referred to a particular place, a geographical place, at the time of Jesus. It was a place outside the city of Jerusalem called Gehenna. In the Old Testament, it's called the Valley of Hinnom. And in the Old Testament, you read about how child sacrifices happen in that place. And so it becomes associated as a place of evil. It's a place where awful things happen. And so at the time of Jesus' time, that same valley existed, but it had become the city rubbish dump. It was the place where you took your rubbish and fires burned all the time. And so you could see how it very quickly became associated in terms of a metaphor for the future age of a place for evil. It's a place, you know, what's God going to do with evil in the future age? What's going to happen to it? Well, he's going to quarantine it. He's going to put it in a particular place like Gehenna. He's going to put it in this place, and it's going to be a place where fires are going to burn. And that's the imagery that Jesus is picking up on here in talking about using this word hell. Now, who has that authority to send us there? He's not talking about Satan here. He doesn't have that authority. He's part of the quarantine here. He's talking about God. He's saying, don't fear humans. Fear the one who has authority over your soul. Which you might go, okay, well, that's fair enough. But it's strange because of what he then says next. Because it sounds like he's saying, you need to be afraid of God. Which then doesn't fit with the next sentence, where he says in verse 6, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Oh, my word, Jesus. What are you saying here? First, he says, we need to fear God who could throw us into hell. And then he says, God cares for you and knows how many hairs are on your head, so don't be afraid. How can it be both? Well, bear in mind, Jesus is talking to his disciples who are going to be facing death. Life for them is going to be in turmoil. There's so many things in the world around them that they should be afraid of, or they could be afraid of. And I think what Jesus is saying here is, don't fear all the things around you. If you're going to fear anyone, fear God who has authority over your soul. But you don't need to be afraid of him, because his character is of goodness and kindness and care for you. The only thing you need to be afraid of is God, but you don't need to be afraid of him in the same way that you fear the things around you, because he loves you. I think that's the logic of what Jesus is saying here. Missionary Oswald Chambers sums it up well. He says this, it's the most natural thing in the world to be scared. And the clearest evidence that God's grace is at work in our hearts is when we do not get into panics. The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. Now, who are you answerable to, ultimately? Which voices do you pay attention to? When you hear more news about Ukraine and Russia, or more statistics on the pandemic, or, you know, whatever it is, which voices do you listen to? Do you let that cause like a storm of fear in your soul? Or in those moments do you say, these issues are important, but I will not fear them, because I fear the one who has authority over my soul, who I know cares for me. I was reading this week about Rosa Parks again, in awe of her life. And she was someone who always said that it was God who gave her strength when she refused to give up her bus seat to a white man in 1955. And she was someone who would not listen to the voices of hatred and fear around, because She knew she was answerable, ultimately, to God. And she said this. She said, I felt the Lord would give me the strength to endure whatever I had to face. God did away with all my fear. It was time for someone to stand up. Or in my case, sit down. I refused to move. She was loyal to Christ. She knew what was right. She knew she was answerable to God. She feared God, did what was right, and we still see the ripples of that simple act of standing or sitting. So there's a second reason to be loyal to Christ, because you know, we're ultimately answerable ultimately to God. And then the final bit. Probably, if you thought what we'd looked at so far was difficult, we're about to come on to the final part, which is even harder. But there's a key message here as well, which is we're loyal to Christ because eternal issues are at stake. Jesus wants us, or wants the disciples, to think in terms of not just the here and now, but the future age. I hope that's come across now. Here and now, really, really important, but sometimes we need that bigger perspective. I was listening to a podcast this week about the way that habits are formed, and it was saying how one of the reasons why bad habits are so easy to start and good habits are so hard to start is because of the way in which they work. Bad habits, with bad habits, the good stuff is all instant, whereas the bad stuff comes later on. And so if I go shopping after this morning to make myself feel better, I'm going to feel great. I'm going to have whatever I want to buy, and it's going to make me feel wonderful for doing so. It's all the good stuff is instant. It's in a month's time when I look at my credit card statement, that's when the bad stuff comes, and I think, well, how on earth am I going to pay for this? That's why bad habits are so easy to form. Whereas good habits, on the other hand, the bad stuff is all instant. If I go for a run, if I start running, right, I'm going to go for it, I'm going to feel awful on day one. You know, my legs are going to be achy for a couple of days. I'm going to be out of breath. If it's been like the weather it has been, then it's not pleasant going out in the cold. You know, all the bad stuff is instant. Whereas the good stuff, having a healthy body, feeling like you've got loads of energy you didn't know you had, like, that comes later on, doesn't it? That comes like after a month of doing it, like every day or a few times a week, like carrying on with the discipline. And that's why good habits are so hard to form, and we're so prone to bad ones. Part of the answer this podcast was saying was that we need to have a bigger perspective. We need to think in terms of the future. We need to act now as in then, in light of then. Act now in light of then. And I think if you took the same principle, I think you get close to what Jesus is saying in the next part, which is we need to see everyday decisions in light of eternity. We need to act now in light of then. And these are tough words. He says, I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. Jesus is speaking to people who are being persecuted because of him. And what he's saying is, don't just think about the now moment. You know, when you stand up before people and they ask you if you know me, you know, don't just think about that moment. Think about, not just about that hearing, but think about the hearing in the future when you have to stand before me. Act now in light of then, rather than just in the moment. And so there's an application here for us. Part of being loyal to Christ is to acknowledge him, to say what we believe, to say what we think, to talk about what Jesus has done in our life, and not shy away from that. Not kind of, well, not to get too nervous around that stuff, but just to be honest about who Jesus is and what he's done. Not to cover up that area of our life. It's really easy to say, and yet I'm conscious of many Christians around the world, you know, living this out, faced with this. In countries like North Korea and Afghanistan and Iraq and various places, day-to-day reality of prison or death or worse based on their answer to these kind of questions. Will they acknowledge Christ or not? Will they be loyal or not? For us, it's easy to say, oh yeah, I'll be loyal to Christ. Yeah, I'll let tell my friends that I go to church. But for them, this is a daily reality and they need our prayers. And, you know, think of people as just praying for Ukraine and people in that situation right now and having to stand up under great fear. Yeah, they need our prayers. Which leads us to verse 10. Where Jesus says one of the most confusing things in the Gospels. And we'll end on this. He says, "And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven." We're forgiven for speaking against Jesus, the Son of Man, but we're not for blaspheming the Holy Spirit. What's he saying now? What's going on? What's he trying to say? Well, I think Jesus is contrasting a moment's blip versus a life stance. For Jesus, the Holy Spirit is always at work. He's at work in this world. He's at work in people's lives. It's in him we live and move and have our being. And you can either align yourself with what the Holy Spirit is doing and choose life because the Spirit is life. Or you can resist the work of the Spirit. You can push back. You can denounce. You can dismiss. Which for Jesus is to choose death. Because if God is life, if he is the spring from which we drink, then if you've decided that the water source is polluted, then where else do you find life? What else is there? I think that's what Jesus is getting at. And so he's contrasting someone who is loyal to him and then in a moment's weakness disowns him. Someone like Peter, for example, loyal to Christ, and in that moment he denied Jesus. And he's saying this forgiveness for that person. But that's very different, Jesus says, from someone for whom their whole life they've just pushed against the work of God in their life, what God is doing. And they've just, "I don't want it. I don't want it. I'm not interested." Tom Wright, a scholar, helpfully says, "If someone is anxious that they've committed this sin against the Holy Spirit, their anxiety is a clear sign that they have not." Which I thought was rather good news. All of this as a whole might sound like strange words from Jesus, strong words. And it'd be easy to kind of dumb it down. But at the end of the day, I came to a point in preparation this week of asking the question, does this matter or doesn't it? Does Jesus matter or doesn't he? Is he ultimate reality or isn't he? And if he matters, then what else would we give our lives for? What else would we be loyal to? What else in the moment would we stand for? This is cool here, to abide in Christ, to keep paying attention to the Spirit's work in our life, to keep choosing life, because eternal things are at stake. So just a roundup, briefly. I talked earlier about forming habits. It got me thinking about what would loyalty habits look like? What would they be based on the reasons we've said to be loyal? And I came up with just three. I'm just going to throw them out there and you can talk about them in your life groups, pray about them through the week. So number one, loyalty habit number one, seek the truth and to be truthful even when it's hard to do. Why? Because the truth will one day be clearly revealed. Seek the truth and to be truthful even when it's hard to do. Loyalty habit number two, pay attention first and foremost to what God wants rather than to others or to your fears. Why? Because we are answerable ultimately to God. And then loyalty habit number three, make your life stance as aligning with the Holy Spirit rather than against what he is doing. Why? Because eternal issues are at stake. Let's pray, shall we? And then we'll sing a final song together. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the words of comfort that he speaks, that we're worth more than sparrows. We matter to God. Like when he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Lord, we hear those words of comfort. But then we also thank you, Jesus, that you at times just went for the truth. You spoke the tough words to your disciples, and God, we're aware of the many times in which we fail, the many times we're not loyal, we're fickle in our commitments, but God, would you help us? Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit again, that we would be good ambassadors of you, our King, that we would seek truth, even when it's not easy to do so, that we would push back our fears as we seek to fear you, the one who cares for us. And God, in those moments of are we going to go for this or not, Lord, would you give us the courage, the strength to stand for you and to do it in love. God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.